Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Monday, June 13th, 2016. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Union Pacific fined $7 million for safety violations in years leading up to Mosier oil train derailment. Idaho Attorney General's Office settles with two Republican operatives connected with PAC accused of campaign contribution violations. And work on new Interstate 90 exit near Wolf Lodge begins. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The Federal Railroad Agency fined Union Pacific Railroad $7 million for safety violations over a two-year period in 2014 and 2015. The Oregonian newspaper received inspection records through a public records request. The paper also reported the Oregon Transportation Department found repeated safety violations on the railroad the day before the 96-car Union Pacific oil train derailed in the small community of Mosier in the Columbia Gorge, about 70 miles east of Portland. The Associated Press reports the problems found by state inspectors appear to be unrelated to the derailment. Oregon Department of Transportation Rail Administrator Hal Gard said, "There has been a history of violations that we thought were concerning." Guard said there have been numerous incidents of Union Pacific conductors leaving trains in Portland rail yards without setting the brakes. Retired State Rail Safety Inspector Michael Iyer told the Associated Press, "If we're on an incline, which most track has, it can be imperceptible that you have movement. They can start rolling. It's very serious. You just can't do that." Inspectors also found four instances since last September in which Union Pacific workers left switches unlocked, a situation which Iyers said can allow someone to easily throw a switch and derail an entire train. Union Pacific spokesperson Justin Jacobs said, "Our safety record is very good. We take that obligation very seriously, and we commit that to our customers and the communities in which we serve." The Union Pacific spokesperson said the railroad has filed a report with the Federal Railroad Administration saying at least one broken bolt holding a rail in place was the cause of the fiery oil train crash in Mosier June 3rd. Spokesperson Justin Jacobs said Saturday the type of bolt which broke was only used on curved sections of track. Jacobs said the train was moving at 26 miles per hour in a 30 mile per hour zone when it crashed within blocks of a school and caused the evacuation of much of the town because of fears four burning rail cars might explode. Jacob said the broken bolt was an unusual failure, and the railroad is unaware of similar broken bolts in the past. He said Union Pacific is now inspecting similar bolts on curved sections of track in 23 states. Union Pacific owns 32,000 miles of track. Jacob said the company will do more labor-intensive testing of tracks than it has done routinely in the past, so it can detect broken bolts that may not be easily seen. He also said Union Pacific will increase the frequency of track inspections in the Columbia Gorge from once every year and a half to four times per year. Oregon officials say the derailment in the Columbia Gorge released 42,000 gallons of Bakken crude oil into the environment. Cleanup crews recovered 10,000 gallons in the city's wastewater system, and some was captured by booms placed in the nearby Columbia River. The rest was burned off or is still in the soil at the derailment site. Mosier Fire Chief Jim Appleton told the Associated Press, "We have to accept that there are going to be failures in the rail system, but we have to recognize that there are some risks that are unacceptable." Union Pacific has temporarily halted oil unit trains on its tracks on the south side of the Columbia River and has said it will consult with the community of Mosier before resuming them. The self-imposed moratorium only applies to unit trains, which are trains that carry a single type of commodity. It does not apply to mixed manifest trains that might have oil cars mixed in among cars carrying other products. Washington State Council of Firefighters President Dennis Lawson has written to Governor Jay Inslee calling for a halt of oil trains through that state until an investigation into the Mosier derailment is completed. According to the Seattle Times, Lawson wrote, "What happened in Mosier could have just as easily happened in a population center like Spokane or Seattle, resulting in even greater tragedy. The upcoming summer fire season is shaping up to be another dry and dangerous one. Resources will be stretched thin, and evidence keeps growing that there is no safe way to transport Bakken crude." Last year, Governor Inslee pushed for a federal bill requiring more robust train safety rules for oil trains, including more quickly transitioning to safer tank cars, financial protection for communities affected by derailments, and lower speed limits for trains. Inslee's senior policy advisor, Robert Duff, said what Congress eventually passed fell short. Duff said, "We were disappointed in the transition schedule in how long they had to get those old cars off rails." A spokesperson for Inslee's office noted over the weekend the governor does not have the authority to halt oil trains, which are regulated by the federal government. The 96-car unit train that derailed in Oregon June 3rd was carrying Bakken crude from North Dakota. The Spokesman Review has reported it had passed through Sandpoint and Spokane on its way to the West Coast. Recent federal regulations require workers to add chemical additives to Bakken crude to be shipped by rail to make it less flammable. Bakken crude, along with the crude from Alberta's tar sands, are considered more flammable than most oil in crude form. Duff said, "We're going to once again start pushing the federal government to do better. We'd like our considerations that have been communicated implemented." Construction crews were scheduled to begin building a new Interstate 90 exchange at the intersection with Idaho Highway 97 east of Coeur d'Alene today. The Idaho Transportation Department says the $4.7 million project at Wolf Lodge Bay near the shore of Lake Coeur d'Alene will include a new overpass bridge, longer and wider ramps, more lighting, and drainage work. An Idaho Department of Transportation press release says the current interchange has excessive chipping, cracks, and substandard vertical clearance. The current vertical clearance is 15 feet 8 inches. It will be increased to 17 feet 3 inches. There will be single lane closures of Interstate 90 in the area while the work progresses. Ambulance crews took two injured people to Gritman Medical Center after a three-vehicle crash on State Highway 8 east of Moscow Saturday afternoon. A Whitcom dispatcher said the crash occurred at about 2:30 p.m. at the intersection of State Highway 8 and Mill Road. No other information is available at this time. Idaho Attorney General Lawrence Wasdin announced Friday he was dismissing misdemeanor charges against former Bonneville County Republican Chair Doyle Beck and former candidate for Congress M.C. Chick Heilson, and that Beck and Heilson have agreed to pay $250 civil fines each. The settlement announced Friday also includes a request from the two that a PAC they are involved in, the Integrity in Government PAC, which is based in northern Idaho, be allowed to file an amended report saying a $12,000 contribution Heilson made to the PAC was made with a loan from Beck. Wasdin released a statement saying, "It's important for Idaho citizens to know the source of contributions in our state's elections. I am pleased that the proper disclosure is now being made and I hope that all participants in our election system will fully understand and disclose in accordance with the Sunshine Law. The Attorney General's office had been investigating numerous questions about integrity in government's contributions, but the contribution from Heilson stood out from the start because Heilson's personal income did not seem sufficient for such a large contribution. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather from the National Weather Service. There is a 60% chance of precipitation tonight, a slight chance of showers between 8 p.m. and midnight, then rain likely after midnight, mostly cloudy, low 44. Tomorrow, 50% chance of rain before noon, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, mostly cloudy, high 58. Mostly cloudy Tuesday night, low 37. 20% chance of showers Wednesday, mostly cloudy, high 58. 30% chance of showers Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, low 44. And a 30% chance of showers Thursday, with thunderstorms possible in the afternoon, mostly cloudy, otherwise high 61. Currently a few clouds, 65 degrees at the Pullman Moscow Airport. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. I'm Lee Robartis. Have a good evening. Coming up next, Eat the Airwaves, news and opinions from the West Side, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio, and our call-in talk show, What's Left, 7:30 tonight till 9, and then Fiddle and Al's On with Moscow Live with music. Stay tuned for more. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial and online.